That's like every day they put their nose in the Word of God, and they did it so that they would know if the things they were hearing, if the things that were being preached were really true. And that's how we really, like, when we're in the world, if we're also in the Word, that we're going to easily be able to separate the things that are of the world versus the things that are of the Word of God, is by putting our nose in the Scripture daily. So let's do a little history lesson. Bob, do you have that map? I'll start with that map. So I just brought up a little map. I sent it to Paul of kind of Paul's missionary journey. This was 49 to 52 AD. Acts was written in the early AD 60s. And when Paul was traveling, he traveled with different guys, you know, Luke, Titus, Timothy, different people, different areas. So in the top corner you see here, and this is kind of just an outline, so Paul goes to Thessalonica, and then he goes to Berea, and then he goes down to Athens. But in Berea is where we're focused right here. In Berea is the Bereans. And the Bereans studied the Scripture. Now, and Paul had something, like he talked about himself, right? In Acts 23:6, he said, "I'm a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees." Like, he had some credentials. And Paul also, remember, Paul was Saul. Like, Paul was Saul. He was the guy that went around and found where the Christians were and would lay his cloak down, and people would kill Christians, persecute Christians, as Paul, then Saul, was leading the way as a Pharisee. So you can imagine a guy who was once killing Christians comes to your church and gets in the pulpit and starts preaching. You're going to be a little apprehensive, right? You're going to be like, whoa, isn't that the guy that, like, last year was, you know, killing the underground church in China? Whatever. You're going to be like, whoa, what is going on here? There's something a little not right. But what's so awesome about the Bereans? They went and they searched the Scripture to say, okay, is what Paul is saying real? But when Paul got converted, he got converted. But being a Pharisee, Paul knew the Old Testament. He was able to use the Scriptures as he was teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ because he knew the Scriptures. And Thessalonian, and they were like, all right, what's he doing? And then he goes to Berea, and Berea's like, all right, this lines up. What this man is saying is real. It's true. And it says they accepted it. They were studying it daily to see if it was true. And I would say, if I titled the message today, I would say it like this. If you're a note taker and you like titles, I get yelled at when I don't give a title. Somebody's like, I like titles to messages. Make sure. And I'm like, okay. So I always have to have a title. If you're a note taker, I would call this message, Be Like the Bereans. We live in a world where there's a lot of false teaching. We live in a world where there's a lot of things shown on social media, a lot of fake news, a lot of things out there. And I want to encourage you, church, be like the Bereans. Be the ones who study the Scripture, how often? Daily. Study the Scripture daily. So when you hear something on the radio, a preacher comes on, you know, you're floating through the stations and a guy starts preaching, you're like, whoa, that's off. And you, how do you know it's off? Well, I was reading this in, you know, Proverbs this morning, and that does not line up with what the Scripture says. How awesome is that, right? Be like the Bereans. All right, so we're going to have a little fun here. We're going to do a little experiment. I got to be careful because in my message, I have these certain points that I can't get too far ahead. Otherwise, it's going to mess up the message. So be like the Bereans. We're going to do this little thing. I went to Bible college in 1999 to 2003. I got my associates. I got my bachelor's. Came back, studied under Pastor Moore, got my associate ordination and my full ordination here, and also then through Baltimore. And when I was in Bible college, we had a class, and it was called Cults and Comparative Religions. And I mean, so this is 20-plus years ago. And they taught about finding, like, the real, the truth, you know, kind of like what we're talking this morning. And they used an example of bankers and a $20 bill. So, Bob, can we put 1A slide up? So I have a $20 bill. I have a picture. So this is a little fun for you guys. You're going to vote for me, A or B? A or B? Lori, you better get it right. Lori's the church accountant. If she gets it wrong, we're all toast. All right. So there's a $20 bill. All right. I'll give you about 7 seconds. Everybody look at that. All right, go to B, Bob. All right, here's another $20 bill. Everybody got about 7 seconds. All right, go back to the first one, Bob. $20 bill. All right, now go back to the other one. All right, now let's ditch the picture for a moment. All right, so the first one was A. The second one, that one was B. One of the things you learn in Bible college about bankers is that they have to study the original, right? You have to study the original. You have to know the original so well that when a fake comes across the counter, you can pull out the fake. And the way you pull out the fake is you know the original, right? So it's kind of like those in Berea, the Bereans, they wanted to know the original so well that if a fake came to the synagogue, they would know that person's a fake. All right, so A and B. Who thinks A is the fake? Who thinks B is the fake? We're just saying fake, not original for a second. Who thinks A is the fake? Who thinks B is the fake? All right? A, raise your hand if you think A is the fake. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, good. Who thinks B is the fake? All right, B, you have it. Lori wins. All right, let's show B. It's pretty hard, isn't it? I went online and I found a ton of them. But see the numbers? No serial number. Go back to A. So A has the serial number. So I saw another one that it was exactly the same, but they misspelt the word Jackson. It's like there's so many counterfeits out there, right? But if we know the original, if we look at the serial numbers, if we look at Jackson's name, you know, and the way the Secretary of the Treasury or whatever it may be, once you kind of get to know the original, you know, you pick it up and the feel, right? A lot of it for the money is the feel. You can pick it up and you're like, ah, this is the original. But when a fake comes across, you're like, nope, that is no good. Somebody's, you know, playing around with the money here. It doesn't work. And I want to encourage you, like, be like the Bereans. Know the original. And in our case as Christians, this is our original right here. This is the letter of God to us for us to know truth. This is the original. Know the original so well that when a fake comes on the radio, when a fake is on social media, when a fake is in the news, you're like, this doesn't work. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't line up with the scriptures. Know the original. Know the original. Let's go to James and chapter 1. And we're going to read 12 to 18. And then we're going to focus on 16 for a second. James chapter 1, 12 to 18. And there's a lot here. Like this would be a whole nother message. But James 1, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Verse 16, do not be deceived. And I'll say, church, do not be deceived. Know the original. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that he might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So we're going to go back and just very quickly, 14 and 15, we kind of see, I call it like the deception progress. It's the process and the progress of direction of deception, right? We see here that when you are tempted, you start being drawn away. And when you're drawn away, it's by your desires and you're enticed. And then as you're getting your desires and your enticed and your temptation, then it starts conceiving. And then what does it conceive? And then it gives birth to sin. And then when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. Right? There's a progression here. David Jeremiah says it like this. He calls it the four stages of temptation. He says you have enticement, entrapment, endorsement, and enslavement. I'll say it one more time. Four stages of the temptation. That it's a process. It's not just one thing, but this is what the devil wants to do, right? The devil wants to mix a little bit of lie with some truth so that he can get you trapped and then just make you fall down this rabbit hole. Four stages, he says. Enticement. Come on, he dangles the carrot, right? You know you want the carrot. Enticement to entrapment. Entrapment to endorsement. Endorsement to enslavement, right? And the devil does this. He draws that temptation. He brings in that deception and entices. He knows where your weakness is, your desires, what's going to entice you. And that then forth comes out of that comes when we fall into it, our sin. And then the sin leads to the death, right? We're listening to the teen ministry, and Kim Shibley has them doing kind of like a little summer reading program right now. And they're reading one chapter a day of C.S. Lewis Screwtape Letters. Anybody ever read that book? And I'm like way ahead. I'm just, you know, it's such a good book. You get into it and you can't stop at just one chapter. You just have to go. But the whole thing is like an uncle demon teaching a nephew demon on the best way to trap the Christian, right? It's how can I trap him? How can I entice him? How can I lure him away, right? And we have to be careful of this. But what we are told in 1:16 is do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Be like the Bereans. Study the scripture daily so when a false one comes across your desk or comes to your ear or to your eye, you say, that is wrong. That is incorrect. And get some guts. Call it out. If it's wrong, you know, go talk to him and say, hey, that's off. There's something wrong with that. The scripture says this in this verse, right? Call it out. There's that old saying, if you give the devil an inch, he will become the ruler, right? He mixes a little lie with a little truth. He mixes a little lie with a lot of truth. But as long as you keep feeding into that lie, that little inch becomes the ruler. That if we're not careful, then he will come into our lives and he'll try to control who we are, what our happiness and our marriage, our, you know, the way we are in our workplace and the things we do in the church, and all these things can be easily affected when the devil comes into play. And I also want to say, be careful of the translation of the Bible you use, right? There are some really good translations out there. And like I said, this whole part, this is a whole nother message day. But one of the things I tell people to look for is the word Christ. Go to the King James and the New King James and find a couple key scriptures where the word Christ is. You'll find some modern translations don't even say the word Christ anymore. They'll say him or he, or and they just take, they're like slowly taking the word name Christ out and they're making it less and less. Be careful of those things, right? And the only way we can really do that sometimes is if we go back to the Greek and we look up a word or two or three here and there, and we'll do that in a minute, and we see, okay, is this what it's actually saying? Is that true or false, right? We use the New King James because it's just a modern version of the King James, you know, very closely accurate to what was written for our modern day, you know, English translation. All right, so we're going to have another fun. All right, do not turn to this verse. All right, let me say that again because we're going to do this again. It's like the $20 bill test. So we're going to test the elders. No. We're going to test everybody. So we're going to put a verse on the screen. Bob, test number 2, slide 3A. We have another test here. And we have a verse in the Bible, and this is 1 Corinthians 15:33. And let me just turn there in my New King James so I'm looking at it correctly. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Test number two, slide A, slide B. We'll kind of do that thing. All right, it says, the top, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. All right, the bottom, do not be deceived. Strange company corrupts good habits. All right, the top one, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The bottom one, do not be deceived. Strange company corrupts good habits. 1 Corinthians 15:33. All right, so is the top verse right or is the bottom verse right? I actually changed a word in one of them just to kind of see. No looking, no cheating. It's not an open Bible test. Those are the best ones in Bible college. You can use your Bible. We're like, are you kidding us? We love this, right? Open Bible tests are the best. All right, who votes? Let's say this time we'll pick the right one. You're voting for the correct one. Which one is correct, the top or the bottom? The top will be A, the bottom will be B. So is the top correct, A? Top correct, A. All right, put your hand down. Is the bottom correct, B? B, B. All right, so the two that picked the bottom were like, maybe? All right, so in the New King James, it is the word evil. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits, right? So I use the word strange on purpose because with my kids, you know, we tell them, like, if you're in a mall and something weird happens, strangers can be your friends at times, right? Like, there's a little girl being kidnapped. Scream. Some innocent bystander guy, even if he's a stranger, he may come help you. Right? But if he is evil, is he going to come help you? No, he's the guy doing it probably, right? So strange versus evil, and it's kind of fun. You can kind of think of this, but it's real, really where the Bereans, they studied the scriptures daily because they were hearing things. Okay, here is Paul. Wasn't that Saul? Wasn't that guy the guy killing Christians? Like, let's make sure what he's preaching is real. Make sure it's true. And Paul's like, hey, I was a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, right? But my conversion. And then he becomes a missionary. But they checked it. They checked to make sure it was real. And they checked to make sure it was true. So let's just, that one verse, one Greek word, just to throw some Greek in here, is to be deceived. Right? So what is the word deceived in the Greek? And I think we have that up here. And the word is planeo, P-L-A-N-A-O. And it's Greek, and it's a verb, so it's an action. It denotes something planao. That is a... Oh, he did it. Go ahead.
Planao.
There you go. Planao. That's so funny. You can do that with a blue letter Bible. That's how I always do it. I wake up my kids all the time doing that.
Planao. All right.
So it means to cause, to stray, to lead to stray, right? That's the Greek word. So if you see like something and then you go back and you look at the Greek and the word doesn't line up, you know it's off because when you go to the Greek, you're looking at the original. You're trying to find what is the word in the Greek? What is the context? Are they telling the truth? Is what they're saying real? And we have to be careful that we're not deceived because we know the devil is a liar. He is a deceiver. And what's he doing? He's trying to lead people astray. He's trying to get Christians to backslide, to get them to wander away, to leave the church. And you hear this in C.S. Lewis. He like warns the uncle nephew to the devil, the uncle to the nephew demon is like, be really careful. He keeps going back to the same church. Make him go church shopping. Like that's what the uncle demon is saying to the nephew. You don't want him in one church, right? Because then they're being taught. Then they're in the family of God. Then they're being accepted. Then they're getting in Bible studies. Then they're getting involved in their church. No, don't do that. Anything but that, right? But we want to be the Christians who are involved in our church, who are actively part of our church. And the second part of that is 2A, the verse says, to lead away from the truth, right? To lead away from the truth. And that's where we do not want to be deceived. We do not want to fall away from what is right and fall away from what is truth. Be like the Bereans. The Webster's 1828 says deceived. It puts it like this. It says, it is one who is misled or led into error, who is beguiled, who is cheated, who is deluded, right? We want to not be misled, not led into error. All right, so I'm going to just rattle off a couple verses here. If you're a note taker, we'll just hit these verses pretty quickly, and we'll go from there. Matthew 28 says it like this, right? Matthew 28, we know this. It's the Great Commission, and this is why I want to encourage you as a church. Matthew 28, I'm going to read 18, 19, 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And you're like, all right, Pastor Scott, that verse has nothing to do with what you're saying. Actually, it has a lot to do with what we're saying. Christ has commanded us to go into the world and to be truth speakers. And how are you going to know the truth if you don't study the original, right? We're to go into all the world and make disciples. A disciple is a learner, right? We're to make disciples, and we're to teach them. But for us to teach somebody else, we also need to learn it, right? We do Bible college Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. before church. There's Bible college going on in the classroom. They're doing survey of doctrine, too. I went in and said, "Chris, what class are you on now?" He did church administration, then they did survey of doctrine 1. Now they're on survey of doctrine 2. Bible college. You want to continue your education biblically more than just Sunday morning church, go to Bible college. And our church, mbcs.edu, has Maryland Bible College and Seminary, and you can take online class. You can just watch them for free if you just want to take one for free. If you want to take it for a credit, we have what's called Grace Bible Institute. So we have our own little Bible college that's affiliated with Baltimore, so that if Chris grades your tests and you do your homework, you can actually get credits for Bible college when you go there. But that's what it is, right? We need to go, we need to baptize, we need to teach, but we need to be truth speakers. Here's another verse. 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense." The King James says to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, right? A little Bible college plug there. But how can we give an answer if we don't study it for ourselves and know what the answer is? If I didn't study it and somebody asked me a question, then I'm going to be like, I don't know. And sometimes, you know, that is a very fair thing. Sometimes somebody might ask me a question. I'm like, hey, I studied that, you know, 22 years ago in Bible college. Let me relook my notes up and let me get back to you. Get back to you is a very fair answer. I'm not sure right now. I'll get back to you. But if you know the answer, be ready, right? In season and out of season, line upon line, precept upon precept, the word of God. Somebody asks you a question, we are to be ready to give them an answer. And I like what he says. He says, with meekness and fear. Don't like blast them, you know, or belittle them. You don't know that. You're such a moron. That's not going to build anybody up. That's not going to edify anybody, right? But we're to speak the truth in love. We're to encourage people. We're to edify people. With meekness, give them the answer. Be ready always in our hearts to give a defense. We know that as we say apologetics or that's apologia, and it means like a verbal defense. It means somebody asks you a question and you verbally answer their question. You have the answer because you studied it for yourself. What about 2 Timothy And now we're just laying some ground here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is a really interesting concept here. It's like a surgeon, right? And he has a scalpel. And he can very easily, with that very sharp scalpel, he can make the perfect straight slit exactly where he needs it to separate something so that he can do what he needs to do. And that's kind of the word picture here. When he's saying to rightly dividing, he's saying to cut it perfectly straight. To know, like the Bereans, they went and they studied it daily. They cut the line, they cut the truth straight, and they said, okay, this is false teaching. Here's my cut, and this is truth. This lines up with the word of God. This does not line up with the word of God. Cut the truth straight. Be honest with people. Love them, but be honest with them. You know, call sin, sin. What is right, right. What is wrong, wrong. There's something about that in the world today where people are kind of like, you know, one foot in the world and one foot in God, and they're kind of on that fence and they're teeter-tottering. They need to hear it straight. They need to hear the truth. They need to be encouraged, edified, built up in love, but they need the word of God. We all need the word of God. Jude 1:3, and then we'll wrap it up here with one more verse. This portion says this, Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Behold, while I was very diligent to write to you, be diligent, concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting to you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And I just want to encourage you, church, contend earnestly with the truth, right? Contend earnestly. I couldn't say that any better than right there. And that's what we need to do in the world we're in. We're in a world where there's a lot of fake news. There's a lot of fake social media. There's a lot of false preachers and teachers out there. But we need to contend earnestly with the word of truth in our hand. Let's go back to Acts and we'll close. Acts chapter 17. And I want to encourage you, church, be like the Bereans. I want to encourage you to search the scriptures daily, to rightly divide the word of God, to have it in your heart and in your mind that so when someone asks you a question, with meekness and in love, you can answer their question. Be like the Bereans. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Be a church, be a person that searches the scriptures daily. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Father, make each one of our lives, make us more like the Bereans, that we would study the word of God, we would rightly divide, we would have the answer that is from the Bible, from your word. Help us to be like the Bereans, to rightly divide truth and that which is false. Our eyes closed, our heads bowed. And on social media, if you're watching, Jesus Christ loves you. We live in a crazy world today with a lot of stuff going on out there. Jesus Christ loves you and he has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus and you want him in your life, it is a simple prayer of faith to start your journey, to begin your journey with God. Just ask him, say, Jesus, come into my life and live. Make me a child of God. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. come into my life and live and make me a child of God. If you're praying that, whether in the room today or on social media or you're watching, reach out to us so we can reach back to you, so we can get a Bible in your hand, the truth in your hand. Father, thank you for each person here this morning. Bless every portion, every part. Bless this day. And Father, teach us to be like the Bereans. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So I think we have a few announcements.